We hope you have been staying dry with all of the nice weather that we've had over the past 48 hours or so. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Good to have you at the other end of the radio waves and also the telephone line at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 if it's long distance. Email address perspectives@wfsu.org and Twitter. Send us a tweet if you want, @WFSUPerspective. I can remember all the way back to, good Lord, I'm old, 1982, when then-Governor Bob Graham, the presidents of Florida State University, FAMU, and TCC, and a bunch of business folk, and county commissioners, and city commissioners, and all, hopped on an airplane and went to Austin, Texas, because at that time, Austin, Texas was a seething hotbed of technological wonderfulness, a lot of it coming from, of course, the university there, University of Texas at Austin. But you had companies like Control Data and Microelectronics Computer Corporation and IBM and a whole host of others that were just going crazy. And the whole idea behind this little excursion was, how can Tallahassee do that too? And they went out there for nearly a week and talked to tons of people and held seminars and workshops and all and came back with great ideas, only a few of which ever came to fruition. Innovation Park was one. And there were a few other things as far as getting the Economic Development Council, the county EDC involved, but just a handful. Today, we're trying to do the same thing, but we seem to be a lot closer than maybe we were back then, more than 30 years ago. So we're going to talk about that here on Perspectives. We have some folks with the Taltech Alliance who are not only involved in that organization, about which we will find out more, but they're also the leading lights of something called the Tech Expo that happens at FSU's Turnbull Center a week from today, and we'll find out more about that, too. So let's welcome first Mark Paul, chairman of Taltech Alliance, CEO of Paul Consulting Group. Well, it was about a year ago you were over here, I think, Mark.
I think it was almost exactly a year ago, Tom. Thank you very much for having us out again, having me out. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Can't thank you enough for giving us the opportunity to talk about the upcoming expo.
It's becoming like an annual celebration. This is really cool.
Once again, I've dressed up in my suit because they told me I was going to be on the radio. I wanted to look my best.
Yeah, and I like the logo on your white shirt, too, for your firm, which is Paul Consulting Group, of which you are the CEO. So that's appropriate, too.
Thank you very much.
That's from the Paul Consulting Group line of activewear, right?
Of activewear, that's right. We've got – I can't say that. So, yeah, we have other forms of apparel that are embroidered also, but – never mind.
We won't go there.
We won't go there.
But we will go over to Jason Stamm. He's chief strategist at Massive Corp and Tech Expo conference chair. And if you go to any Taltech Alliance meetings, you're going to see this guy probably hanging around the door. Good to see you again, Jason.
Thanks, Tom. I'm actually going to take this opportunity to get some points in my pocket and wish my wife a very happy birthday. Tara, happy birthday. I'm looking forward to, in about 2 hours, eating some cupcakes somewhere in the city with you.
Happy birthday, Tara.
Happy birthday to you. And welcome aboard to John McFarling, immediate past chair of Taltech Alliance and founder of Tal Search Group. Good to have you on, John. What is the Tal Search Group?
Tal Search Group is an IT recruiting firm, and we primarily focus in Tallahassee, but we also work with clients outside of Tallahassee as well. So Taltech Alliance has been a good organization to be involved with, and this expo that's coming up, I think, is going to be a very good experience for the folks that come and join us. So looking forward to seeing folks there.
Well, hearkening back to the opening comments, I can't imagine an organization like yours or Mark's even, or Jason, yours, 30 years ago. That would be almost unheard of. We didn't have the infrastructure. We didn't seem to have the connection to whatever research was going on at the universities to the degree that we do now. Is that accurate, you think?
Well, there's a lot going on right now in Tallahassee in the technology sector, Tom. I mean, it's almost a perfect storm because with with Taltech being the center of a lot of it, you've got numerous partners and members of Taltech. You've got the university systems that are member. You've got Florida State University and FAMU and ITT Tech, and Jason's got a much better memory than I do. So on Kaiser, mm-hmm. You got John over at Kaiser and all of them being members of Taltech. And then you've got Ben Pingree over at the EDC and the Chamber. They're really getting involved in the technology sector, and Taltech is on the round table for the Chamber. And then you've got CenturyLink, who once again is sponsoring the Expo. They're our diamond sponsor this year, and one of the things I love about CenturyLink is they're a global communications firm, but they also care about the community, which is why they're sponsoring, because the Expo is all about the Tallahassee community. So, and then you've got small business members and corporate members in Taltech, and all of them are really working together, more so back to your original comment of Austin. Tallahassee's really starting to reach that level of Austin, because you've got all of these players together, including, and I've missed a couple, investment capital firms and venture capitalists and angel investors, and all of them are coming together to create an environment where the talent that is coming out of the university systems and the talent in technology, the goal is to keep them all here in Tallahassee instead of them leaving.
Exactly. And a couple of weeks ago on this very show, we had some folks in from Domi who were involved with that business incubator. Certainly some of the folks who take advantage of that are going to be in the technological realm as well, and spin off from whether it's the Mag Lab or any of the other high research firms that we have here. Jason Stamm, let me ask you, though, what was the whole idea of getting the Taltech Alliance started? Was it just, so you guys could get together once a month over at the Capital City Country Club and chow down on fried chicken, or what? What was the deal?
Well,
he's been there.
We're going back about 12 years, which is prior to my formal involvement in Tech Expo, in Taltech. But what I do understand from the original documents and the spirit of the whole thing is that it was a spinoff out of the Chamber of Commerce. The Chamber of Commerce and the EDC said that we need a focused business association volunteer group that related to technology. And what that meant back in 2001 is something somewhat different than it means now. But at the same time, you had the original founders, the founding board members, Jim Hunt, who was then at Electranet, John Fraser, who is still at FSU doing commercialization, and Rick Carney, who is with Mainline, and who knows what else he's doing these days. He's a man of many parts. And so the original founders had this very similar vision to do what was being done in Austin, bring capital, talent, technology, research-based ideas, and make something wonderful in Tallahassee. That was the original vision. It's still pretty much what we do today.
Okay. And as far as the Tech Expo is concerned, John McFarland, since you are the chair of that event, their seventh year, just a big trade show again, or what is the underlying purpose of having an event like this?
Well, it's the only regional technology conference in the area that's non-government related. We're bringing in some pretty significant speakers. We've got Skyler Van Molden coming in from Facebook. He is
We're flying him in from San Francisco, are we not?
Yes, we are, and so he's our keynote speaker. But we've also got some very solid speakers in the entrepreneur track. We've got Vincent Hunt, who's the CEO of Massive Corporation. If you haven't seen him speak, dynamic, awesome speaker.
Hey, he's got great ideas.
Yeah.
How to quantify ideas.
Yeah. And then on the enlightenment track, we've got a young man by the name of Ryan Kapinski. He's a PhD robotics student at Florida State University. He started technology user group on FSU's campus, and they are a grassroots organization that is interdisciplinary, where they can all come together and learn how to program computers, but he's doing a presentation on wearable technology. So we've got some really good speakers coming in. But to kind of take a step back, you're talking about the experience of going to Austin. 2 years ago, the Chamber did a really good job of bringing in John Doggett as the keynote speaker to the conference. And he, I think, really kind of opened folks' eyes in Tallahassee and got us on the right track. So not that we haven't been doing things prior to that, but I think he also did a really good job of getting the spark in Tallahassee going even better than it already was. So.
Yeah, because there's so many people who have been critical of these kinds of outreaches over the years. Like, okay, we can't clone ourselves after whether it's Austin or Chattanooga or the Research Triangle or Silicon Valley or anything else. We have a particularly unique set of circumstances in Tallahassee. We have to kind of play off of those strengths. Yeah, we can cherry pick some stuff from these other guys, but we got to kind of home grow this thing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and honestly, since Taltech is 100% volunteer, it's a nonprofit organization, and I'm sure I express the same thing as John. That is not an easy organization to chair when it's all volunteer, because it is a corporation no matter how you look at it, and it still has financials and it still has marketing. And Amanda Cuff is the conference director, and she does so much for us at Taltech, and appreciate her being here in the booth also. So it's not an easy thing. Caroline runs our financials and honestly, what even made it worse is our treasurer was a gentleman named Curtis Clifford, and he passed away a couple months ago in a helicopter crash. And so not an easy thing to run, but it is kind of cool, though, that it is a nonprofit. So people are doing it because we all do it, all of us. And Jason's been involved long. If you added up all of our volunteer hours in this sector of Tallahassee, it wouldn't add up to whatever Jason has put in time-wise with Taltech. But, it's even though that it's difficult, we're all doing it because we all feel that from a technology standpoint, it is the right thing to do for Tallahassee.
And it's the kind of situation that allows a lot of interchange of ideas. And I think anyone who is involved in any kind of profession or area of expertise knows how difficult it is to herd those cats, because the person you really need to talk to may be your competitor. And it's tough sometimes to break down those sort of walls and say, hey, where are our commonalities and how can we work together to make both of our situations better?
That is a really interesting point, Tom. And going back to what you said about 30 years ago, if you go back 30 years, we're in the 80s.
Were you born in 30 years ago? I mean, come on.
I'm well over 30
years. All right. You don't look it.
Thank you. But you're going back to the prime of sort of like the AT&T IBM era. The very, very much an industrial economy, and technology was modeled in the technology of the time was modeled inside that industrial economy. We're in very much of a post-industrial economic paradigm right now, where things like innovation, velocity, and time to market, team management, where we have global teams now like we never had before. And so Taltech Alliance is really primed to bring people together to understand things like that.
Well, we're going to talk more about that as Perspectives rolls on, talking about the Taltech Alliance and the Tech Expo up and coming next Thursday right here on Perspectives. Back on Perspectives with Mark Paul, John McFarlane, and Jason Stamm, all associated with the Taltech Alliance here in Tallahassee, as well as their Tech Expo that's going to be happening at the Turnbull Center next Thursday, a week from today. Let's see, when does it start here? 8 o'clock in the morning. And last session of the day begins at 3:45. And an after party.
After party.
Awesome.
Madison
okay.
Social. You got to have an after party.
Well, sure.
Sure. Not that I drink beer. You guys don't drink beer either, do you? No.
No.
No. Okay.
We used to actually have a pre-party, and it was kind of pointless.
Did we drink beer there too?
We did, but okay. we weren't getting.
Okay, so the expo is still going to be a lot of fun this year. That's what it's a lot of technology, a lot of fun.
So what, Jason? You saying the early expo started at 10 o'clock at night, or what was the deal here?
We used to have a night before reception.
Yes,
actually,
we did.
In 2011, I think was the last time we did that, and it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Tech Expo that year happened to be on a Cinco de Mayo.
And you wore a cool hat.
I wore a sombrero. Lots of people wore sombreros that year, but we wore sombreros, and we had some margaritas and had a good time. And then the next day, we came and learned a lot about technology and stuff.
I believe ISC was the sponsor of that pre-party, that, correct?
I think
that,
they were.
I'm going to have to correct you that FPL Fibernet was the sponsor of that pre-party.
Okay.
The year before.
Don't mess with his memory.
The year before in 2010, ISC did sponsor the pre-party at the Aloft Hotel. We had a really good – that was when the current Microsoft Cloud technology was really hitting the market. And Mark Alexander from ISC gave a wonderful presentation while we all drank some margaritas.
I had hot tea. I'm just, for the record, that's what I had.
Jason Stamm, the historian of the Taltech Alliance here with a full review. You'd mentioned, though, the FPL or Florida Power and Light FiberNet. Back in the day, again, we're going back here probably about 20 years. The then incumbent landline phone company, which was Central Telephone Company of Florida, Centel, full disclosure, worked for him back then, put in a dark fiber token ring connecting state office buildings, Innovation Park, all other kinds of high-tech nodes, if you will, together. And then we got some more stuff from the FPL folks and their other infrastructure parts that have evolved since then. How important is stuff like that to the future of this area in trying to develop more technology and more interconnection and just, you know, helping out that sort of business? Is that important?
It is. It is really important. And we have our Tech Expo conference partner and major sponsor, CenturyLink, is a big part of that infrastructure. There is a robust infrastructure in Tallahassee. There's fiber available in most of the business corridors. There's high-speed coaxial bandwidth as well as DSL bandwidth available. That infrastructure is vital to Tallahassee's connection to the rest of the world. And it is a big part of our economic development and essentially our business continuity here in Tallahassee. There's some relatively mundane business processes, but also, if you want to just get up and running, and even on the social side, if you want to share video, you need high bandwidth.
Yeah, the final frontier in today's day and age is bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
And everything seems to be migrating to a wireless situation. The latest – God, I probably got the last desktop on the planet, I think, at home. But it doesn't even hardwire to my internet connection. You know, the router is right there, and it goes wireless. I'm going, but I got a cord, and it's like 2 inches away. Why are we going wireless? And that seems to be the way of the world now.
Well, if you want to talk about wireless, let's talk about security for a moment too, because you know, the expo, sure, it's all about technology, but technology transcends all industries. Obviously, you've got the school system, education, and you've got manufacturing, you've got healthcare, and it's really all about security. And even as individuals, we want to take strides to protect our information. I don't want my social security number getting out there to the world. Obviously, I don't want my personal health information getting out there to the world. And one of our speakers, Karen Emanuelson, she is specifically, as part of the education track of the upcoming expo, she'll be talking about what steps that anyone can take, not just businesses, but individuals, what steps that they can take to protect their privacy online. I think everyone is, and not only for adults, what can we do to protect our children's security and personal information online? Because that's very important to all of us that are parents.
Sure, and horrible things like Heartbleed and everything else that are out there right now that are just we did at the university here. We had to go and change all of our passwords just to make sure we had that additional layer of security. There's, you know, a lot of stuff here.
It's actually interesting that you say it that way, that you had to do it. Those of us in the technology sector, we preach that you should do that regularly. And that's a public service announcement from the Taltech Alliance.
Yeah, there you go. Change your passwords regularly.
How regular?
And do not
is
write
regular?
Them down and put them underneath your keyboard.
Yeah. But
don't
how regular is regular? Monthly? Weekly? What?
Well, it depends, I guess, on the type of information that you want to protect. But
Also the frequency of use of that system that you're using the password on.
That's our geeky way of saying it depends.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends. If it's the best practice right now is if it's the system that you log on every day to do work, monthly is the frequency by which you should change your password at the best practice, at the highest security level. If it's something that you log into personally, then quarterly is more of a best practice, and then it's very arbitrary.
Okay, and how many wireless routers are unsecured out there?
Go to any coffee shop, and you can easily steal anyone's information in that coffee shop. There's a handful of people around you that you can any of us that are geeks can attach to their notebook computer. And not that, you know, we're all professionals here, not that we'd ever do that, but the capability – protect your information, especially on wireless networks, especially in public locations.
And I'm going to actually add –
I can't preach that enough.
You really have to be mindful of the wireless settings on your – smartphone as well.
Yeah.
Because it's not just that people are going into unsecured networks in public places and booting up laptops and tablets, but a lot of people have their mobile phones set, their smartphones set to pick up whatever wireless network is in the area so that they don't have to pay for their data. Well, that's an interesting value proposition that you don't have to pay for your data, but you open up your phone when you're there. And there are people who will take advantage of that.
Yeah, and one of the – you know, John mentioned bringing Skyler in from San Francisco. And one of the cool things also, he's an FSU grad, so it's good to have him back. And I don't know exactly what his presentation is. Maybe, John, you might know a little bit more. But last I heard, he was going to be talking about a third of the world now is connected to the internet. And I think, you know, if I had to guess, about a third is connected to Facebook. I know my wife uses it daily. And that's not a shout-out to my wife for using Facebook. And it's not her birthday, but should we sing? We should sing happy birthday to Tara, I think.
Maybe after the next break.
Okay.
We'll do that.
I'm just kidding. I'm not really doing that. Tom's like, no, you guys aren't really going to do that, all right? But, you know, he's going to talk about what's the world – Skyler's going to talk about what's the world going to be like when three-thirds of the world are connected to the internet. Right now, you got a third of the world. And what does the future look like? And that should be a cool conversation. We're real excited about – he's going to be our keynote.
And, John, the whole idea here is to make this applicable to just everyday folks. So much of it is esoteric and, oh, man, you're operating at levels way above the average person who uses technology or even some people who are pretty adept with it. But this is supposed to be, what, pretty practical information that you'll have?
I think it definitely will be. It'll give you the opportunity to get exposure to a couple different areas. If you're looking to be an entrepreneur, we've got an entrepreneur track. If you're looking for an enlightenment track, that goes down the track of new technologies that are coming. And that would fall, I think, also within what Skyler will be talking about, just what's the world going to be like when it's all connected. And then also we've got our education track. So we've got three different areas, I think, that if you want to come check out, you can bounce between different sessions because we have three different sessions. So there's a track for each session. So if you see one that you like, definitely worth coming to check out that one. But you'll obviously have the opportunity to see others as well. So I think it'll be a good afternoon or a good day to spend the day with some technology folks. So.
For folks just joining us here, we're talking to members of the Tal Tech Alliance, Mark Paul, John McFarlane, and Jason Stamm. And John was just giving us a quick thumbnail of next Thursday's Tech Expo at FSU's Turnbull Center. We'll have another plug here later on. But, John, for more information, what do you do?
I have an IT recruiting firm called Tal Search Group, and we are basically focus on working in Tallahassee primarily. And then, one of the big things that we're supporting is Tech Expo. And that's coming up on May 8th, which is at the Turnbull Center, as you said.
And thank you, John, for Tal Search Group being a silver sponsor for the Expo. We appreciate that.
Right on.
Right on.
Yeah. And as we were talking about earlier, everybody that's involved in this are volunteers. So this is the seventh year we've put on Expo. A lot of effort goes into it. I think this is going to be one of our best expos. Not that they haven't all been good, but I think the amount of time that we've spent getting everything prepared for this, we're right on target to having a really good expo.
How many folks usually show up for this thing? Since you got 7 years in the hopper, you can look at.
We've got a few hundred coming to this expo this next Thursday. So it's going to be – and all of our sponsorships are filled, and I get to give another plug to Amanda. All of our sponsorships are filled. Mm-hmm. All of our exhibitor booths are filled, and we've got a whole bunch of attendees. So it's going to be one of the biggest ones ever this year.
Is there still room for folks to register and come on in?
Plenty of room for people to register. It's very inexpensive. I think we might even have some coupons coming out here. I can't verify that, but we might. It's only $75 for an individual rate. If you're a member of Tal Tech, it's $50. If you're a student, we're encouraging students to come. A lot for students. It's only $30. So it's very inexpensive, and I think John mentioned earlier, it's the only conference, technology conference in the entire Big Bend that's open to the public.
And so many of these events, though, you're running from session to session and speaker to speaker, and there's really not too much opportunity to interact with other attendees. You have some slush time in there where that can take place?
I think that's a good point to bring up, because it's an opportunity to network with several hundred people. You can network with many people in one day that would take you months to do if you were to go out and knock on these doors individually. So from a business perspective, I look at it as a great opportunity to interact with my peers within the technology area, as well as some other folks that are coming just to check out the conference. So definitely there is time carved out for folks to network. So,
and maybe even some surprises as to, my gosh, I didn't know that was here in this town. And you guys been working on that? Wow, that's really cool.
That's actually one of the best things about Tech Expo is that over the last five years, as I've been on the chair of the planning committee, we've been focusing on cultivating those meaningful connection experiences when people are at the expo. And that can be defined as you meet a colleague and talk about something new. You're exposed to a new idea, enlightened by a speaker. You talk to a vendor, a potential new vendor, or maybe you're the vendor and you talk to a potential new client. Same with employment. Maybe you talk to a potential new hire. Maybe you talk to a potential new employee. That's the kind during Tech Expo, it's pretty realistic for somebody to experience several of those meaningful connections throughout the day because of the way we've designed the event. We have very engaging speakers. They're going to take you on a learning process for about 45 to 60 minutes. The keynote is going to blow your mind. That's basically what we go for. And then the Taltech core family and everybody that we tend to draw to our events are going to give you the other value the other value experience at our exhibitors and sponsors as well.
Okay, Tech Expo, by the way, next Thursday, in case you're just joining us here at FSU's Turnbull Center, starting bright and oily at 8 o'clock in the morning and going through the afternoon hours and then an after party and all that. We'll get back to it in a moment. 4141234 for perspectives, talking to the folks in the Taltech Alliance about the expo and some other things as well. Oh, and perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address, too. You were talking about the security of networks and the necessity of regular changing of passwords and those sorts of common sense precautions a few moments ago. Robustness of the network, though, it would seem to be a big topic, too, given what we've seen over in Pensacola and Alabama and around Mississippi with the horrible storms of just the past 24 hours, when a lot of the networks start to collapse, when you've got some landline problems where the T1 circuits drop off maybe and you can't get landline access to the internet and the cell towers start winking out as their batteries go away. Do we need to do some more with that kind of thing to keep everyone up and running?
A quick story. My firm, Paul Consulting Group, back in 2005-06, we wrote a software that tracks debris removal after hurricanes. So I spent 6 months in a helicopter flying around Louisiana and Mississippi, and that was the quickest way to pick up the debris load tickets. We'd land in the helicopter, we'd go to a debris site, and we'd pick up these Army Corps tickets, and we'd put them back, and we'd get on the helicopter, and then we'd go back to a disaster field office, and then we'd scan these back to Tallahassee, and we had over 120 data inputters putting this information in Tallahassee. And we worked 15-hour shifts from about 6 in the morning to about 11 o'clock at night. And we did that for about 9 months straight because the infrastructure out there wasn't there because it all gets wiped out. There's no way you're going to – and, of course, that was during Hurricane Katrina, and that was just a mess. And I did a couple of radio shows and television shows when I came back, and they said, well, when's it going to be when Louisiana is back up? Is it going to be 2 months, 3 months? And I'd been flying over that area for months, and I said, I don't think it's going to be 2 or 3 years. I mean, Katrina, it was just this is the most awful thing I'd ever seen. So you can't, Tom, completely protect yourself from natural disasters no matter where you're at, whether you're in Central Florida, right? I mean, whether you're in the Central United States right now and they just got hit by the tornadoes, or whether you're getting flooded. I mean, that was an awful front. you're never going to be able to completely protect yourself from natural disasters, but there are things and emergency management with the state, they do an awesome job in Florida going out there, floridadisasterplan.org. You know, they do a great job with doing everything that you can do to prepare for the natural disasters.
Yeah, because that would seem to be a big component of it, not just to have bottled water and enough gas in the tank, but you need the interconnection. And as you guys said, with so much going wireless right now, and that network may be a little bit more susceptible to running out of – literally running out of gas and going down. What do you do?
That's – from a personal standpoint, that tends to be an individual problem based on the scope of what you're experiencing at the time. If I could go back to more of the business solution, that's a general cost of doing business on the technology side that I think a lot of people aren't aware of. That you have to be, if you really want to have 24/7, 365 uptime, you need to be co-located and mirrored in a place that isn't 100 miles away. You've got to be co-located and mirrored in a place that is not going to experience the same natural disaster that you do. And then you go through what's called an IP switching process, where if our servers here in Tallahassee go down, then there's a small downtime and the IP switch goes in and the servers in Chicago come up, something like that. And to pay for that on an ongoing
basis
is not cheap. But if you need to secure the infrastructure, the availability of systems in your area, then that's the kind of thing that you have to do. And that's a heavy expense that I don't think the general public is aware of how costly that is. And also not necessarily willing to spend the money to do so.
And we've got one of our members is Secure Records out of Thomasville.
Secure Record Solutions, right?
Yeah, Record Solutions. And they're a good starting point if you're looking to
– Powell.
Christopher Powell Jones.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's definitely been involved with Taltech for a while. And, you know, their whole thing is helping companies create that redundancy that they need in order to be up and running as quickly as possible if there is a disaster.
You need someone who is then knowledgeable and conversant on emergency auxiliary backup, just about everything.
Just about everything.
Taltech Alliance and the upcoming Tech Expo is what we're talking about here in Perspectives. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809, long distance, and perspectives at WFSU.org is the email. We'll be right back. We're talking to the Taltech Alliance folks here, Mark Paul, John McFarlane, and Jason Stamm, about not only the upcoming Tech Expo next Thursday, but also things of a networking nature and high tech this and that and all. And one of the high tech things, at least it was back in 1876, was the telephone. And that device is what Shelby is giving us a call on right now. Hey, Shelby.
Hi, how are you?
Welcome to Perspectives. Thanks for calling.
I just had a question, if you guys could elaborate a little bit on how different attendees will benefit from attending Tech Expo, like students or business owners, things like that.
As I said earlier, I think that Expo gives you an opportunity to network with a very large group of a couple hundred folks within a day period, which if you were to go out and try to knock on everybody's door, it's going to take you a couple months to get through that. I'll give you a real-world example. I had a friend move back from Tennessee last year, and he was in town interviewing, and I suggested that he come to Tech Expo, and he ended up meeting with Mark Alexander from ISC, and they ended up hiring him to do their 365 implementations with the state of Florida, Microsoft 365 implementations. So you've got the opportunity to network with other companies. If you're in the technology industry, definitely good opportunity to meet folks within other companies as well.
Yeah, I'll say this. The College of Business, the Florida State College of Business, is one of our silver sponsors this year for the expo. So I know they'll be there. I believe they might even have a booth there. And for the last couple luncheons, ITT Tech has sponsored the luncheon. And they're promoting their graduates at Taltech. And I know of one that just got a job because they joined Taltech and they got a job through Taltech. So, Shelby, it really is it's as important for students as it is anybody else to attend this Expo, because there's a, you know, Taltech has a twofold mission. Taltech is predicated upon education and networking. And so the Expo kind of gives you a little bit of both. The speakers are there for you to be educated. And if you're a student, I don't know if you are or not, Shelby, but you sound young. So if you're a student and you need a job, then that's an excellent place to network. You've got hundreds of small business and corporations there. Excellent way to get your name out there. And if you've got a business card, or at least say, hey, here's a resume. Well, we encourage that also.
Okay. Well, entrepreneurship is, of course, one of the big buzzwords right now. People striking out on their own away from the corporate grind and coming up with the next killer app or a social media platform or a networking solution or any of this other. Is that even possible, or does it take gobs and gobs of money and it's just too difficult to really contemplate?
I'll take that one.
This is Jason, by the way, guys.
Okay. The innovation and time to market and prototyping is actually something that is very rapid these days, and of course, it happens all the time. It doesn't necessarily happen all the time out of Tallahassee, which is one of the things that we're trying to change. But we see things coming out into the marketplace very quickly, and going somewhat viral all the time. So why not here? You know, why we can make that happen here. The entrepreneur track is to we've got Vincent Hunt from Massive Corporation talking about the velocity of innovation. Jonah Manning from People Ops Consulting and Cole Bishop talking about investor funding and from the startup founder's perspective fundraising as well. And then Michael Wyden from the Domi Group is also going to talk about startup and incubation, team management, and some of the legalities of it, of investing in startups. So this is somewhat of the how-to, but it's a very accelerated how-to. It's not an academic how-to. It's a how do you, if you have an idea, how do you get it to market? What are you facing when you're trying to get it to market? How do you get the kind of capital that you need in order to launch and scale and maybe even get to that bigger valuation, which we have yet to, that we're all very familiar with. We read it out of Silicon Valley and whatnot, but we have yet to really experience anything like that recently in Tallahassee. And we're not, Taltech isn't alone in doing this. You mentioned just a couple weeks ago, you had a panel talking about that as well. So if you have an idea and you think it's potentially big, you might be able to glean some expertise and do some networking with our speakers and the other people in that entrepreneur track and actually get the resources that you need in order to do it.
There's even some people I've seen that only appear to exist on YouTube. I don't know if they have any, you know, corporeal reality or real reality at all, but is it possible to monetize this sort of thing?
Well, Tom, if you're going to use big words like corporeal, I'm not answering.
Well, of course not.
I'm turning that over to Jason.
that is actually something that is a big open marketplace for the individual. The individual, we're all familiar with personal branding. You know, it's a very hot thing over the last half a decade or so. But that's essentially what people are doing. They're using the YouTube platform to launch and proliferate their personal brand. And by converting those viewers into followers, that's how they do, in fact, monetize it. It's something that isn't easy to do. It takes a lot of effort. And you kind of only have to do that, and that's why you only see them on YouTube. They don't have a storefront. They don't do a whole lot else necessarily. But yeah, you can monetize that sort of thing. You can monetize on YouTube. You can monetize on Facebook. You can monetize on a lot of the other social media platforms. You can monetize in Second Life, which a lot of people even haven't heard of for a while. But there's a lot of things you can do and just exist in that platform and do business and do quite well.
Let's get back to the phones. George is on line two, giving us a ring on Perspectives. Hey, George.
Hey, Tom. Good morning. I haven't talked to you in a while. It's because part of the time I was sick and part of the time I was just listening to some very interesting programs. I wanted to ask your panel, I know you are, Tom, familiar with the new phone system, the VoIP that is coming into being at FSU, and also if during their conference next week they're going to have any information about technical advances for disabled and visually impaired individuals?
Okay, well, that's a great question, George, and I know enough about it to know that VoIP stands for Voice Over Internet Protocol. So it's a telephone system that goes through the internet, essentially. Beyond that, I know not. Guys, what about George said there as far as having some information about it and maybe also some resources for folks who have visual or other challenges?
Well, I'd like to speak to assistive technology specifically in that we have one of our member organizations is the Florida Disability Rights Florida,
mm-hmm.
and we have worked with them to bring some of the new assistive technologies into sort of awareness. But what I would really focus on from the assistive side and the enlightenment track, specifically virtual reality and wearable tech. A lot of these things are designed so that they can be somewhat of an artificial or assistive device to people with disabilities.
And Ryan Kapinski is talking about wearable tech, right?
Ryan Kapinski is talking about wearable tech, and Thomas.
And Ryan did a presentation for us. He developed a Google app, Google Glass app, and he was showing that off at one of our luncheons a month before last, mm-hmm. correct? And that was an awesome presentation. And he's speaking again. So.
Yep. And Thomas Jackson is speaking on virtual reality and 3D printing. So virtual reality is another platform that can help people with disabilities. And 3D printing, they're 3D printing prosthetic devices.
Yes, they are. They're 3D printing lungs and kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
I swear, they are.
So there's also
it's not really printing. It's 3D
manufacturing.
Ken Baldoff said it's more like 3D manufacturing.
Yep.
I think the word printing is somewhat of a misnomer. Now they're building homes with 3D. They have these big cranes, and they're pouring the concrete and all the structure of the homes with these big cranes. And they're doing this in third world countries, and they're printing the home.
So it's driven actually then by a software program.
It sure is. Mm-hmm. It all is. And they print in layers.
Everything runs on code, Tom. Almost everything runs on code. Software code.
Okay, you're telling me the Matrix is like
the Matrix is
coming,
here.
You know, within the next what?
As long as
10,
we don't lose
years?
The source code. Source code's very important.
Yeah. But that's a fear on the part of some folks. Well, we have to be jacked into the network at all times. Many folks with their phones are now. You take away their phones and they're worthless.
Yeah, you're kind of jacked into the network. And if you've got a mobile phone, if you've got a smartphone, or if you use – everyone's kind of on the grid at this point. Very difficult to get off the grid, not to get philosophical, but
– that you have to make a concerted choice.
A concerted choice.
Usually a very time-limited choice as well.
A digital leash, we'll call it.
A digital leash.
Or straitjacket, as the case may be. Yeah. And now I'm going to have nightmares about Agent Smith suddenly appearing, you know, from out of nowhere. But
Tom, I think you might be Agent Smith.
I hope not.
You're the one on the radio.
You do kind of look like him. You know, he was really good looking, so are you. So,
yeah. Both have, you know, exceedingly receding hairlines, all that sort of thing.
I wanted to say my personal brand gets mixed up with Brad Pitt's personal brand a lot.
I have done that, actually, before. I have confused you with Brad Pitt.
I know a lot of people do that, yeah.
I think we have an exercise in virtual unreality going on here, guys. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's right.
Anyway, back to Tech Expo. Again, if you're just joining us, this is Perspectives and members of the Tau Tech Alliance who are associated with not only that organization, but the upcoming 7th annual Tech Expo at the Turnbull Center next Thursday, starting at 8 in the morning. The big bet, of course, Skyler Vandermolen from Facebook. I mean, how hard was it to nail down that guy, John?
Well, actually, that was a group effort. Mike Coyton from the Refresh User Group worked with Skyler a while ago at Homes and Land, and he's kept in touch with him. And Tau Tech Alliance supports the various user groups in Tallahassee, Refresh being one of those. That's about the user experience that you have as a UI design stuff that when you're looking at the monitor – how is that interaction for you as an individual? So Refresh does monthly or quarterly meetings, and so I started talking with Mike, and we ended up strategizing on how to get Skylar here. And so he's going to be speaking at Tech Expo, thanks to Mike, as well as the Refresh User Group. So there'll be two opportunities to see Skylar speak, and I think he's going to have two different topics. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, with what, around a billion people now on Facebook, somewhere approaching that. Can it grow any more?
Or it can grow a lot more.
There are a lot more people in the
world. About 2 billion more.
What Skylar is really talking about is that they've had – Facebook, in this example, has had success connecting people to Facebook because that percentage of people who are connected to the internet and the web – are using Facebook. As more people connect to the web, which is what Skylar's going to talk about, platforms like Facebook will connect more people. Facebook, Twitter, other social media stuff, those are the two that most people know about these days. But you've got connectivity efforts going on all over the world. Google launched last year Project Loon, where they use these satellite balloons up in space. Over New Zealand is the pilot, and they're trying to actually do a satellite network using these satellite balloons to
I did hear about that.
Push connectivity over New Zealand. And it's essentially trying a new way of creating a connectivity infrastructure in developing nations and where it might be difficult to actually dig lines and erect poles to connect things on land.
Well, Mark Paul, there's your solution there to the Hurricane Katrina situation. No storm is going to get to an in-orbit balloon.
That's actually a great idea. We could use those. I was in a fishing tournament this weekend, and this is kind of the negative side of technology, depending on your perspective, but as long as you follow the rules, it's not. But supposedly now they have drones out there watching the fishermen to make sure you're not catching something that you're not supposed to. Mm-hmm.
Oh, FWC drones. Wonderful.
I didn't say which agency it was. I just said it was drones. I don't know if it's that's the rumor going around.
So yeah, well, we had heard rumors about American Express helicopter gunships. You know, if you're a little over your
but those balloons in a disaster situation that would be perfect because you mm-hmm. don't it's quick, it's efficient, and you just bring them down when you're done.
And they call it Project Loon because it's a bit of a long shot and it's somewhat of a wacko. Idea, but they're going for it, and they're not the only ones doing something like this. Google's a very visible company, so it was easy for me to call in for the story. But the what Skylar's talking about is what happens when the rest of the developing world is online as much as, say, the average American or Westerner is, and how much will the world be like when we're as connected to them as we are to each other domestically and that sort of thing. So I don't actually know that. Someone who works at Facebook probably knows a lot more about that than I do.
Yeah, just to hear about his culture at Facebook and what that's got to be like. It's got to be extremely interesting to hear. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, that's just one of many presenters that's going to be at Tech Expo next week. So, John McFarland, again, since you're kind of the honcho of the event there, people want to register, they want to find out more, what do they do?
You just go to taltechexpo.com. That's TALTECH expo.com. And you'll be able to register through that. And we'll definitely look forward to seeing you there.
Or you can email Amanda Cuff, KUFF, at taltech.org. And she can answer your questions via email also.
It would also be a good source of information if you just wanted to find out more about the Taltech Alliance and perhaps come to one of the meetings and check it out and see what's going on.
We have luncheons every – not this month because of the expo, but pretty much every – I think it's the second Wednesday of every month, and that's the third Wednesday of every month, and it's at the Capital City Country Club. And we love for people to come out, and the first time you come out, it's no charge. You can have fried chicken, as you said. They have some of the best fried chicken there. And Maureen Burns is the chairman of our programs committee. She's done a heck of a job putting together some very interesting topics, and we've got a lot more coming on the second half of this year after the expo.
A lot of heavy hitters in the area. I recall this was last year I came to one. Dean Minardi from Bing was over and made a presentation there on some of the things that they're doing and actually attaching the city of Tallahassee to the rest of the high-tech manufacturing world in some really creative ways. And that was fascinating. Only a moment or two left here. So let me just ask you to do the crystal ball thing here, Mark Paul. What do you see as the next big thing in tech? Or will there be many things?
Oh, geez. I'm not sure I'm the right person to ask about that. But I do want to say this. The mission of Taltech is to bring together business, education, and government to create opportunities and foster business growth and promote technology in the Tallahassee area. And it's predicated upon education, and it's predicated upon networking. And that's what this upcoming expo is all about on May 8th at the Turnbull Center.
Well, that is a big thing in and of itself. Jason Stanwell, what are your thoughts there?
I think the next big thing that technology is going to do is increase the human experience globally, whatever that tends to mean.
Whatever that
means. Jason's always got better answers than I do.
I had a little more time.
Okay,
were you a philosophy major or what?
My wife is a philosophy major.
Okay, so. quick from you, John McFarland.
I think that Tallahassee, we've got a lot of cool things going on, and you should definitely plug in if you haven't already done so. Come check out Tech Expo, and we look forward to seeing you.
Let's have some fun.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, guys. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox and Lido Rawls pushing the buttons today. I'm Tom Flanagan, off for a couple weeks for the upcoming Spring Pledge Drive. We'll catch you on the 22nd of May right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.